Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Tom, we might make some weather history here. If we hit 106, not only would it be a new record, but it would be the highest temperature ever recorded so late in the year.
Oh, your favorite types of record, temperature records.
Oh, yeah, you know it. No, I remember the last excessive heat warning we had a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know, I have a good feeling that the excessive heat warnings, that's it for the year. No.
We were thinking the 100-degree days, were gone for the year.
I thought so.
Mother Nature has ways of pulling the rug out from under us.
Yeah, I mean, we've had in the past the odd 100-degree temperature even into October, but 106, come on. Anyway, back to watering all the plants twice a day here for a couple more days. It is Wednesday, September the 25th, 2024. Hope your day's going well so far. Again, midweek edition of our program, and we'll begin our 15th year with our radio program in January, and that would put me 37th year here involved with Tucson Radio and TV. Kind of the last, well, I don't even want to say it, one of the longest serving radio and TV people in Tucson. I don't know, it might be a couple more. I know Bud Foster.
When you do your memoirs, I have a title
Bud's
for
got me
you.
Beat. He has been here a little longer than me. What was that, Tom?
A title. If you do your memoirs,
yeah,
call it The Last Hurrah. But I think somebody already stole that title.
Yeah, so The Last Hurrah. No, well, still going strong here. Taken day by day on 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk on the radio. We have our worldwide live listening podcast, show archives, everything you could imagine going back to the first week of January 2011 when we launched the program. We've got that. Everything's archived there. Probably 98% of our shows. Our live line for our telephone interview presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome now the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Adelita Grijalva. Hey, Adelita.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. First of all, I want to ask about your dad. How is the congressman doing?
He is doing well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Doing really well, responding great to treatment, in good spirits, working every day. Yep.
How about we've got early voting, the ballots dropping for early voting, a week or so,
yes.
Actually.
Yeah. So the early voting starts, the emergency sites open up on August 9th. Hmm. Ballots will be mailed out on the 6th, so we should be getting them the 9th. And there are only three locations for that kind of emergency, which means, you know, for whatever reason, you're not going to be here, and mm-hmm. that's the time. And then we start with some of the other emergency sites on October 21st, and then a larger collection of them on the 28th of October.
And there are these voting centers,
yes.
Right?
So what we used to have are polling places.
Yeah,
so
those you would of us go that to have, a polling place.
Right, and that had to be near your home or wherever you were registered. And so the idea of moving to voting centers is, it's whatever's nearby. You don't have to drive all the way home. You can go to the one around the corner. It's a print a ballot on demand, mm-hmm. which means we save thousands and thousands of dollars and don't have a lot of unused ballots sort of laying around. It reduces the number of provisional ballots, so your vote counts right away.
And you're saying that the ballot is printed right there?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So it does. So if you, wherever you live, if you go to the one closest to me over there by Casino del Sol on Pascua, it will print your ballot over there. And so you don't have to drive around anywhere. Last election, I believe we had 137 voting centers. Mm-hmm. And so this election, we're going to have what's called Pima.vote. And it will have all of the information there about voting, being able to check your registration, giving you a timeline of what are the big dates that I need to know about. Like, mm-hmm. for example, if you haven't double checked your registration, your last day to register is October 7th mm-hmm. for this. You know, so I think it's important. And then, you know, when your early ballots are going to be mailed out on the 9th, and then the last day to request a ballot by mail is going to be the 25th.
It's a four-page ballot.
It is. It's front and back and front and back.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And so a lot of propositions, a really long, I mean, usually our general election, especially presidential, is a little longer, but this one is going to be really long. So people need to get their little notes together, be prepared, because if you have all of your information at the ready, then, you know, it will take probably 10 minutes, I would say. But I think it's important that you do homework on, because some of those propositions will change the Constitution of Arizona.
Yeah.
And so it's really helpful for people to get informed on those.
So most people, though, vote early voting now.
They do. Yeah. And one of the things that I think was very telling is in the primary election, 20% of the ballots that were mailed out to people were returned. That means 80% of our registered voters that can vote sat on their ballot and didn't return it. And so it's very important for people to have their voice heard. We had a congressional primary in Maricopa decided by, the difference was 39 votes.
Wow.
So every vote really does count.
So you're saying in the primary about 80% didn't return the ballot?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So it's a lot of people that are just deciding not to. And I think that it's so, especially in this election, is going to be critically important to have your voice heard.
So these are people that had requested ballots?
They're, yeah. Right. They're on the permanent early voting list.
Oh. Okay. So 80 or 20% didn't. No.
80% did not return, 20% returned.
Wow.
So our okay. elections, our primary elections in Pima County were decided by
20%. Relatively few people.
Right. And that's only the percentage of people that are registered and are getting the early ballot.
Oh, my goodness.
So a very few, a small percentage of those able to vote.
All right. Let's talk about this blow up you posted. You posted on Facebook a sign that was very critical of former President Trump. And there's been all sorts of confusion about this. Some people think you created the sign. Why don't you pick up the story?
I'm not clever enough to have thought of it.
What is this about?
So when I was on my way into the office, there was a sign put up right before the underpass on Broadway, and I just happened to get a good picture of it. Mm-hmm. And it was mostly said tongue-in-cheek, like, welcome to Tucson. Uh-huh. And it was a picture. It says, Chinga tu maga. No more orange. And I think the word that people were getting hung up on, they were equating it to, I'm saying F you to all Republicans, which is not the case. Mm-hmm. And it's so, you know, it's a nuanced word. We have a restaurant called La Chingada. So I thought that it was interesting, and I was being accused of spreading hate, which off color I will give. Hate, I think, was a
But others stretch. Put up this sign, too, on Facebook.
Right.
I mean, it's not like you were the only one that did it.
No, and I also didn't put it up. I personally didn't do it. I didn't have it printed. Yeah. I didn't have anything to do with this production. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what happened next?
I put the picture up, and it was shared really quickly, many times. And then I was getting a lot of sort of really pretty vile and ugly messages from people that don't live in my district, don't live in Tucson. Most of them live outside of our state. Just kind of, you know, demanding my resignation and what kind of person are you? It was just pretty.
And then this carried over to the boardroom.
It did. We had a handful of people that came to let me know their opinion, which is very much their right. Mm-hmm. But then when I have an opportunity to respond, everybody walks out. So I basically gave my response.
And what was the response?
My response was, I will make you a deal when I will admit my wrongdoing when Trump apologizes for the racist, misogynistic comments that he's made. And I sort of went into a little more detail about women, people of color, LGBTQ, immigrants, and, you know, people were walking out during that time. So,
And it got pretty personal for you.
It did.
And some were saying, my goodness, she's the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. She should not be taking any kind of a stand like this.
Oh, well, yeah. I am a person. I'm a partisan elected person, one. And this was on my personal page. And so what I ended up doing is...
This is a page that you've got family photos.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had it for as long as Facebook has been around. Yeah. That has been my page, mm-hmm. my personal page. I put up, you know, pictures of my kids and whatever I want to do. And so apparently I am being held to a different standard as an elected person than the candidate for president that they're upset that they feel I personally offended. So I just, I said, I would not apologize, but what I did do is reduce the privacy. So if you're one of my 5,000 Facebook friends, mm-hmm. you can see it. Mm-hmm. And people are still commenting on it mm-hmm. today. I have 986 reactions to it, but I did take it off public view mm-hmm. because I just,
there's that, you can put it, just Facebook friends or the public could see.
Correct.
It. So you took the public part off.
Right. So Bill, you and I are Facebook friends, so you can see it.
Yeah. One of your 5,000 followers on Facebook. All right. We'll take a break right here. It's Adelita Grijalva, the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Buckmaster Midweek Show. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster in the driver's seat. Tom Fairbanks making sure everything's going well on the other side of the glass. Caller Matt is going to join us on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Go ahead, Matt. You're with Chairwoman Adelita Grijalva.
Yeah, Supervisor Grijalva, first of all, on the issue that you were guys discussing, I think that I just want to offer my support. I think how you're handling it is perfect. And I think the people that came to see you and walked out were probably two categories of people. One, people who were offended because it was in a language they don't understand and were offended that you utilized whoever posted it to retweet. And then the second group who do understand it were just offended because they're Trump supporters. And it was their chance to articulate that.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, and the more important thing, and it's a two-part, but I'll make it quick, is I know the supervisors, you know, feel the need to get involved in, you know, things sometimes involving the sheriff's department. And I think it's appropriate for them to do so. However, I believe Sheriff Nanos already received, the scrutiny of the legal process and the Attorney General's report and whatever that was. And I don't think we need to add on more problems for Pima County with you all, basically adding more scrutiny when there are already processes in place for that. And that's just my opinion, but I recognize your authority to do so. But more importantly, you need to solve the problem of the Pima County Jail and how we're going to fund a repair-replace model. And I really urge you to try and get as much federal funding for this before all the federal funding goes away.
Okay.
And that's it. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
Thank you.
And just so folks that maybe have not been following what's going on the Sheriff Nano situation, at the request of Supervisor Christie, the supervisors will revisit a recent Arizona Attorney General's report on Sheriff Chris Nanos's handling of an accusation that a sheriff sexually assaulted a female deputy at a holiday party. The AG's office said they found no evidence of criminal wrongdoing by the sheriff and his command staff, but they may have violated several department policies.
Right. So, Supervisor Christie put the item on the agenda, but never asked the sheriff to come forward. And so I think that it is a courtesy, if you're going to have an item on the agenda where you're going to be discussing a certain department, have the courtesy to ask that, you know, the director, or in this case, the sheriff, to come forward. And I spoke to him a couple of days later and he said, you know, we're doing our job. I'm not sitting there reading your agenda to see if I'm supposed to show up or not. And I never received any word of it until people were watching the meeting and said, oh my gosh, you were supposed to be there. And he said, nobody ever asked me. So there was a vote 3-2 to kindly request, which I just don't think the vote was necessary. I voted no because I thought I know Sheriff Nanos. And if we would
have
asked
him. Who were the two no votes? You and?
Me and Supervisor Scott.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And I think that our position was, one, we can't compel him. He's a duly elected official, just like many of the other departments mm-hmm. that we have. But also, I know that he's come before. When we've not asked him, he's been there.
I mean, protocol should have been that if you're going to talk about, you know, the sheriff and accusations, that he should have been there in the room.
He should have been invited to
be there. Yeah, if he wanted to come, yeah.
Right. So when I asked, did you notify? Mm-hmm. You know, I just got a look that I said, so there was no notification. So I do think that's important. That if you're going to ask that, and then I do think the timing is interesting, right? It's an election year, Sheriff's office that there's a contested general there.
Yeah.
And so I just think that we're getting a little bit crossing into some areas that I would prefer not to. But mm-hmm. Sheriff Nano said he would be there at our next meeting. So
okay. So the second part of Matt's question, which is a good one, what are we going to do about this jail, the redo or whatever?
Well, the last amount of money that was discussed was pretty significant. This conversation that we need a new jail, when my argument has been the newer part of the jail is 17 years old, the older part is 40. Most of us live in homes that are older than that.
I do. So
I just think that it's important for us to understand what happened. And so I'm not inclined to hand over a significant amount of money that's going to, we're going to have to do bonds. I mean, there's going to be a process, a public process that we have to weigh in.
It's fixable?
I believe it's fixable. I still think it's millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
So I do think that it's important for us to do what we can to reduce the jail population for many of the people that are there for nonviolent offenses and come up with some other alternatives like the transition center, other places where people can have medical support for detox and other mental health issues, work with the state to try to get more support for mental health issues, because we're seeing a significant increase in people who are very dependent on substances right now.
And Matt suggested maybe there's some federal money that could be used.
Well, we'd have to apply for the funding, and I'm not sure off the top of my head what funding might be available. And again, that is likely not to, we won't see any new money, I don't believe, until the new administration.
When is the next meeting about the jail, or is that something that'd be picked up after the first of the year?
I don't believe that we have anything on the jail coming up, at least this month.
Okay. Ted Maxwell, General Maxwell, who's really done a great job and as chair of the Regional Transportation Authority Board and trying to, and he's on the board because he is the Arizona or the Pima County representative from the Arizona Department of Transportation, and it's a 9-member board, and he's been trying to work out a compromise. He was on our program yesterday, and he articulated in our two segments with him yesterday basically what the RTA next plan, kind of the blueprint of at least letting this blueprint go to the voters for public listening sessions. What do you think about it? You kind of got probably the same presentation our listeners did yesterday.
Yeah,
week or so ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So our last meeting, and I think that the board has worked very hard to try to come up with this compromise. I have been a very strong advocate that the city of Tucson receive an equitable share of funds and projects because, you know, when the city of Tucson wins, for my district at least, the vast majority of District 5 is in the city of Tucson. Mm-hmm. So that infrastructure is critically important because in the time that I've been on the board, almost 4 years, District 5 has had about a mile of new roads. And so one mile.
That's
because,
it?
Yes, because most of our district is in the city of Tucson.
Okay.
And so the assumption is the city of Tucson takes care of all of that. So I do think that that's really important. If all of the parties involved, all of the municipalities are on board with this, I will absolutely support it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that we continue to bring to the forefront the importance of the city of Tucson to be able to maintain all of these arterial roadways that we all use.
And they don't call it road repair, which I've learned. It's called a restoration, a pavement restoration.
Right.
But from what I gather, it's not like a crew goes out and fix a pothole. The technology is to the point where they can just do kind of a repave of the area, which is nice. I like to see that. I like to drive on roads that have that. Because sometimes the pothole fix, a couple of months, and it's back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've all had the experience where we've had chips in our windshield and our alignment is off. And, you know, I mean, a bunch of other issues are happening with our vehicles. The wear and tear is really significant.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard. I mean, when we have guests coming and they talk about, you know, our potholes, it's just not something. We want people to look at Tucson for the many beautiful things we have going on.
I've only got about a minute. Affordable housing is something. Local housing was brought up at a couple of recent meetings. Are you moving forward in that area?
Well, the only reason that we have $5 million a year for affordable housing is Pima County was out of the housing business for 2 decades before I got on the board. And so we have dedicated, they call it gap funding, $5 million a year. And we're trying to figure out ways to increase the capacity there.
Yeah, because that doesn't seem like it's going to go very far.
No, but thus far we've had 1,300 affordable homes in the last 3 years that are back that are in the inventory because of that funding. So it's a good thing.
Absolutely. All right. In the final seconds, again, I want to bring it back to the way we started about the early voting. And did you have a place where folks can go on the internet to find out all the information about that?
Yes. Right. I believe it's going to be the second week in October, right before early voting starts. We're going to have, it's called PEMA.vote.
PEMA.vote.
It's going to have a ton of information. We're going to make sure to do a rollout with media, get it all to you and to anyone else, all elected officials, so everyone can sort of direct traffic there. And we're also obviously going to have people on live lines to be able to answer questions.
All right. Adelie Grijalva, thanks. Great to see you.
Good to see you.
Your friend, by the way, is in the house. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is waiting in the green room. He will be next on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take the mid-show break. Then Dr. Trujillo.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things, Zilcalo Village Studios. We love Green Things. Jan and Jack, very hands-on owners. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Last week I was saying this is the perfect time. The rain's gone, and the extreme heat. Well, we got a few more days of the extreme heat, but over at Green Things, they always point you and then actually walk you in the direction and show you there are some wonderful plants that are more heat tolerant than others. Their 13-acre site is 3384 East River Road. The website's greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business, zocalovillage.com. Great pottery and beautiful imported items from really all over the world. And there's some dining room sets, that mesquite, hand-carved mesquite dining room sets. Beautiful stuff. All right, they're open daily, and they're in their 53rd year of business. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line number, which is 79024, is sponsored by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Boy, we've got a lot to unpack here in the next 20 minutes and 10-minute segments with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, the superintendent of Tucson Unified School District. Dr. Trujillo, how are you today? How's your day going so far? Trying to put out any crisis today, or?
It's been a great day. Had a wonderful morning out at Cholla. Say hello to all the wonderful staff members out there at Cholla.
How's that school doing, Cholla?
Oh, they're doing a wonderful job. I had a wonderful time visiting the sports medicine program. Hundreds of students signed up for sports medicine.
Really?
Interested in a career as in athletic training. And what a lot of people don't know is that Cholla offers an internship program. The program, under the fantastic direction of Dr. Maritza Diaz-Collazo, is 300-something students strong across three levels of classes. Seniors get to go work, have an internship experience at St. Mary's Hospital, where they get to decide if that's the career path that they want to continue on. So had a great job, just a great job they're doing out there, and wonderful time learning all about the program.
So it's giving these young people a real path forward.
It is. It is. So,
all right. Last night at the board meeting, kind of the headline item was paid parental leave. Basically, we're talking about TUSD employees could be eligible for, and I guess they will be now, for what, 12 weeks of paid parental leave?
They will, yeah. And it's a wonderful day to be the first school district in the state of Arizona to actually offer 12 weeks of paid leave.
Really? The first district?
The first district to offer 12 weeks of paid family leave for any of our employees throughout the system that are beginning their parenthood journey. And whether it's maternity or paternity leave, or for the adoption of a child, the assumption of guardianship, or unfortunately situations where there's pregnancy complications or unfortunately miscarriages, our families are now going to have the time together to be able to navigate these important moments. And they're going to be able to do so without draining out all of their sick and personal time. Because you see, Bill, prior to last night, in order to be able to take the necessary time out for family leave, whether, again, maternity, paternity,
yeah,
or
where's
adopted
that
child,
money? Where would that money come from?
You were on no pay status. Now, the federal government does assure us with the Family Medical Leave Act that your job is protected and you can take up to 12 weeks, but it's non-paid. Mm. And if you want to get paid, you better have enough vacation days, sick days, or personal days banked up.
Yeah, you would drain all that.
You're going to drain them all out. Mm. And so the end effect is rushing people back to work without giving the, in the case of pregnancy, without giving the mother an adequate time to heal from such an exhausting physical experience, or the time to bond with the new child. So one of the things I'm most impressed with is the board opted for passing this policy to provide 12 weeks of parental leave for both parents involved in the parenthood journey, which I think sometimes, and I think Dr. Shah did a pretty good job of explaining.
Dr. Ravi Shah.
Dr. Shah, yeah, as a very engaged father that was on the ground, you know, from the moment his kids were born. How important it is that both parents have that time to bond and to build that connection with newborn children. So we're very proud this morning to be able to bring that to our employees. All of our employees, the only eligibility is you have to have worked for the district for one calendar year.
I would think this could be a recruiting tool.
It's a recruiting and retention tool, actually, as well. So employees wondering or if they're going to have enough time banked up to be able to even have a child, well, we've hopefully taken that worry off the table, and that will lead to them opting to stay with us.
Boy, you got so much here to cover, and we had that extensive interview that I did. I went one-on-one with Tom Horn on our show Friday, spent most of the hour with him, and he was talking about why teachers are leaving in Arizona, and he says, as far as he's concerned, the number one reason is security. And the classroom, trouble in the classroom with students, and I don't know. It's a big issue, he says.
I disagree. I think the majority of our students are very respectful. I think they're very engaged. I was walking through classrooms this morning at Cholla. I don't know what world he's talking about. Can you have students that get into fights at lunch? Sure. Do we have attendance problems? Yes. Will young people do young people things, right? Ditch school, stay outside for a second period of lunch, sleep through first period, not want to do their work, put their head down, occasionally sleep in class. Yes, those issues are going to happen. But when you look at 35 students in a room at a place like Cholla High School, you're going to see 29 vibrantly creative, wonderfully talented young people doing the best that they can. And it's the system's job to support our teachers when they are dealing with situations of absenteeism and discipline and tardiness. And we can always get better at that. But the world in which Superintendent Tom Horn is painting, one of chaos and danger and disrespect and defiance, that is not what I see going on in our classrooms throughout Tucson Unified. Mm.
By the way, I brought up Tucson Unified to Mr. Horn, and he praised a couple of the arts programs. He said that he likes very much, but then,
Well, it probably went a different direction, I'm sure. Obviously, right. Superintendent Horn is no stranger to TUSD.
Mm-hmm. There's a history there.
There is a long history there. We are ideologically opposed to a lot of his beliefs and a lot of his statements that he has made about the district itself and what our mission is with students. But I am surprised that he does give us a little bit of kudos there with the performance arts, with opening minds through the arts.
He likes that very much. Let's talk about securing schools. Boy, so much has been going on, hasn't it, on that front?
Yeah, and obviously the big story of the day has been the social media threats.
What's that all about?
Well, not that there's ever anything easy to navigate when you get social media threats. Parents, rightfully so, are scared the moment that these threats appear online. In their mind, the only priority they have at that point is keeping their kids safe, and the only decision they're interested in making is whether or not they're going to send their kid to school until they hear from the district. And unfortunately, what's become the trend, not just here locally, but nationwide, is for young people to post these threats with the sole intention of creating chaos and fear and ultimately getting school closed to get a couple of days off. And that was the situation here. I want to thank the Tucson Police Department for their quick work in identifying the culprits. And I think they're up to 7 young people that have been taken into custody for the intentional posting of these false threats that caused so much chaos and so much fear.
And then they're shared.
And they get reposted and they get shared and the panic spreads. And I could tell you that at the peak of the social media threat issue, which was probably Monday of last week, we had thousands of absences across the district. And it was literally because of these false threats. And thankfully, we were able to work with TPD, able to put out messaging to the parents and to the community that these threats were in fact unsubstantiated and that it was okay to bring their kids back to school. But we know that we have to work quicker. I think the hardest thing for us in this environment is you have the posting of these threats online outside of the school day on devices that we don't own, that we don't monitor, and we can't control. And all of a sudden, by the time we find out about them, they've already gone viral to thousands and thousands of people. Mm. And the parents want answers from the district. And a lot of times, at the time that they're demanding answers to something, we're barely finding out that something's been posted. And then you add to this that the Tucson Police Department, they do have a threat mitigation unit that investigates every single threat, whether it's online or actual. But that team, in order to complete its investigation, they need at least 3 or 4 hours. And unfortunately, our parents don't have that kind of time. They're looking to make decisions on whether or not they're going to send their kid to school in the morning. So we know we have to get faster. We have to embrace the challenge of addressing these social media threats faster and to communicate with our parents in a timelier fashion.
Were schools closed?
No schools were closed. Okay. No, we didn't have schools closed. We just had thousands of parents. A lot of students that just didn't come into school.
Doesn't that hurt the financial picture when that happens?
It does. Doesn't help it. It does not help it. No, it does not help it. Because we rely on the average daily attendance across 40 days of school.
Yeah.
So if one of those 40 days of school has 6,000 fewer students, as it did last Monday, that is going to show up in our financials. So it does not help the district at all.
All right, let's take a break right here. More with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo talking about Tucson Unified and really education here locally in Southern Arizona. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. 2006. Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year Regional Transportation Plan, half-cent sales tax. They're both effective through June 30th, 2026. The region to receive continued funding for another 20 years. RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. Receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development. Visit rtanext.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit qlmc.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Yes, it's very warm, unseasonably warm for Tucson as we push toward record highs in the next couple of days. But there is a place that you can cool off relatively. Upper 80s, oh my gosh, 84 and 55. That's nice. Nice day over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, which is only about a three-hour drive. We just love telling our listeners about that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. You'll get a wonderful reception over there. People love visitors from Tucson. Check out their website. Visit Southwest New Mexico, southwestnewmexico.org. For more information, we continue now in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, superintendent at Tucson Unified. This hot weather, boy, I know you've, Dr. Trujillo, you've upgraded where you can a lot of the HVAC systems thanks to the money that is starting to come in from the bond package, but it didn't take care of every classroom.
Well, I could tell you what, the heat is fighting back viciously. It will not go quietly into the fall. It will not.
It makes it very difficult for the learning environment.
It does. And here we are. We had a couple days of cooler temperatures. We thought we were through the woods, and the heat is just fighting back, will not let fall come through the door. So obviously through the bond, through the $480 million bond, the big focus of that package is the total and complete replacement and modernization of our heating and cooling systems throughout the district. 65 schools will get brand new heating and cooling systems and chillers and boilers will be more modernized, and these outages will be a thing of the past. But the downside to that is the installation schedule takes the next 12 to 14 months to be able to complete these installations. Because TUSD schools are so old and antiquated in their facilities, these systems have to be custom made. They have to be sized to our facilities. Whether it's the sheet metal of the sheet metal of the ducts and the air vents that come with the systems, or the systems themselves, they have to be retrofitted in. And so these are custom.
Yeah, they're custom jobs.
Custom jobs. Yeah,
the electrical wiring, everything.
All of it. And when you're dealing with old facilities, it takes a while. So, the number one issue that we face is the singular classroom outage, because here in the district, if we have a whole school that goes down, it is safety first. We're going to send kids home. You know, especially like a day like today, when we're going to hit 105.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to go home. It's you cannot have kids in that environment. If we have a couple of buildings that in a particular school will go down, we'll still move
people around.
If we don't have the space to move people around, we'll have to cancel school for the day. When you have singular classroom outages, yes, you want to try to move the teacher in the class into a cooler part of the school. But in some of our schools where it's too crowded and you absolutely can't, that's a tough situation. So last night, our governing board took action and they voted to approve the purchase of, we're going to be purchasing portable AC cooling units that are going to be Freon based. Every school is going to be able to have one. And because they're going to be Freon based, it's actual real AC. It's not a mini swamp cooler that you fill with water.
You just bring it into the classroom.
You roll it into the classroom. Wow. And you turn it on and you're getting real AC. So it's really going to help us, because there's a lot of times where we deal with a singular classroom going down and you can't send a school home because one classroom is out, or even two or three. But to the parents of the kids in that room, it is an emergency.
Yeah.
To the teacher that's in that room.
But now if you've got these units, just roll it into the classroom.
The units will be able to be deployed quickly. They're plug and play. And we'll be able to deploy them very, very quickly to help us get through what is turning out to be just such a interminable cooling season.
Oh, you know, it's horrible.
It's horrible. You know, fall, like I said, fall,
it's horrible.
Fall's trying to fight its way in here, but the heat won't let it in.
There's a taste in the mornings. But even this morning, I noticed, I always like to go out about 5:45, 6 o'clock. Now, this morning, I didn't feel that cooler air like I had yesterday morning. You can just tell now when these kind of temperatures, even the mornings are going to be not that not that pleasant. All right. Cell phones, that came up in my extensive interview with Tom Horn, superintendent of schools. California has now said no more cell phones in schools.
I believe that cell phones are tremendously disruptive. I think that they're an incredible distraction. If I had to agree with Superintendent Horn on just one thing, it would probably be this. I don't think a total ban. I think an instructional ban. Mm-hmm. I think that when students come into a classroom, we need all of their energy. We need all of their cognitive energy. We need all of their intellectual energy. We need their attention. We need their engagement. And the number one competitor, okay, that we face for all of those things are these devices.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at a lot of the research now around the impact of social media and smartphones, especially on youth, there's some very, very disturbing trends in terms of how these devices actually undercut interpersonal growth. They decrease the amount of time students spend interacting with each other. Mm-hmm. They decrease the amount of growth that students experience in emotional regulation, the ability to develop resilience, resolve, the ability to solve problems interpersonally and to collaborate with others. And the more and the deeper into cell phone and smartphone and social media addiction that our students get, the harder it is to pull them back. So I've always wondered, why would we continue to enable that addiction by allowing them to walk in with these devices? And to me, I know the argument is that, well, cell phones can be leveraged as a tool for instruction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, when you look at the whole of the situation, I think the negative aspects of cell phones in classrooms during instructional time, the disruptiveness, the disruption that they present, far outweighs any instance in which cell phones can be used as an aid for instruction. And I just don't think that we're at a place where they are productive in during instructional time, during classrooms. But where I do disagree with Tom Horn, Superintendent Horn, is I do believe that we should be permissive during breaks and lunches. I don't think students should be totally cut off from their devices. I think at lunchtime, hey, you want to play a game, you want to, you know, look at a social media app, that's fine, right? I'm more about instruction. We need you with us if you're a young person or you're a kid. And cell phones don't allow us to get that attention.
Would you just put it in their backpack or?
Well, we've got a couple of different initiatives being piloted right now. I do want to highlight Sabino High School and their principal, Kevin Amadon. I think they're doing a fantastic job. They went and they got parent buy-in, student government buy-in, and they actually have cell phone / device storage containers that are installed in every classroom. They're clear, they're see-through plastic. So students walk in and as a normal procedure, they put their devices in the little miniature drawer. They can see it full time, the whole time they're in the classroom. And the early reports are that it has really increased the amount of student engagement and focus in the class so far.
All right, Dr. Trujillo, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bill.
All right, on behalf of Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill wishing everybody well.